Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com.
It's Blogulator Radio, skewering and fawning over all things television. This week, it's me, Chris, and
Jerksica.
We're here after a couple weeks of hiatus with Qualler and Bridget, knowing that they'd be on vacation. They did double duty past 2 weeks in a row, and now we're back to not actually quibble about reality television for the first time.
No, sadly not.
Unfortunately, America's Got Talent is really the only thing on, and I can't say we're...
No, can't bring ourselves to do it.
Sorry. Howie Mandel is just a little bit too...
Is he still on that show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he replaced David Hasselhoff.
Oh.
So unfortunately, no reality television to talk about. We're actually going to do a throwback because we've become kind of Netflixaholics over the summer with the lack of quality programming. Since we are not cable subscribers, I know that sounds kind of strange coming from two people that help do a television podcast, but...
it's a racket.
It is. You know, we just can't afford it. So what we've been doing is looking back on some shows, trying to catch up, you know, like the average person does who enjoys a good yarn, but wants to get the best episodes right in a row. We do enjoy our scripted programming once in a while, and we're excited to talk about something that I think is probably the most divisive non-reality show that we've experienced together. I think we still like watching it together, mm-hmm. but I think I like it a lot more than you do.
Well, it's. I wasn't sure the first few episodes. I was like, eh.
Well, let's say what it is first.
All right.
Because I feel like we go down this road a lot where we get into our arguments and our opinions before we even let the listener know what the hell it is that we have all these fiery emotions about.
But it's 20 questions.
20 questions. Let's see if you can... See if you can guess it. I'm going to guess that they're probably going to figure it out by the picture on our website and what
curses.
Have you. Well, we're talking about The Good Wife. It's the highly lauded and highly watched show on CBS, which is kind of funny because usually you only get highly rated or you only get highly watched. You don't usually get both.
Smell it.
Oops. Don't worry. It's yours. Kalinda Sharma. I'm the in-house.
Oh, the investigator.
You're Peter Florrick's wife.
That's right.
I worked with him at the state's attorney's office 3 years. He fired me.
Okay.
So, what do you know?
This is one of those rare occasions where it's a very popular show that also has gotten very good reviews. And, you know what? I'm liking it. We just finished watching season one on DVD via Netflix, and I totally was hooked. I don't think I was hooked right away at the beginning. But I think as it went on, I got invested enough where I'm like, all right, I'm in it for the long haul.
Well, what I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted with discussion of, you know, identify the show we're talking about, is that it took me a couple episodes. I gave it a couple episodes to, like, you know, woo me a little bit. Didn't happen. And then I thought to myself, I'm over this show. And every time you suggest we watch another episode, I think I say to you, I'm over this show.
No,
I'm over it.
Here's when you say that. You say whenever we're in discussion about the show with friends or people that ask what we're watching, I say, oh, we've been watching The Good Wife.
And then
you
say,
I'm over it. But then when we're home, in the confines of our privacy, I say, hey, Jerksica, would you like to watch The Good Wife?
And I say, sure.
Exactly. You never turn it down.
And then it's like halfway through the credits, I realize, crap, I'm over this. Why do we keep watching it? And the answer... Dear listeners, is that none of the shows and programming I actually enjoy are actually airing during
right.
the summer.
And also, I think...
So
even
it's that, or we have to have a conversation like adults.
I think you're kind of one of those people, and I think I put myself in this category. I just don't think I admit it as much as you.
This is a big disclaimer for whatever you're about to say. We'll see how this pans out.
Is that even though you'll say, I'm over it, you're one of those people that I think, we did this with Damages too, especially second season, where it's like, yeah, you're over.
Oh,
it.
I yearn for Damages after watching The Good Wife.
Really?
Yes.
Because I feel like you say that a lot, but then you're still invested, maybe not so much in the characters, because you're going to have a lot of things to say about.
There are no characters.
Okay, we'll get into that later. But you get enough into it where you're like, you feel like you need to get to the finish line. It's like you're reluctantly entrenched in just having the comprehensiveness of the show behind you rather than just say, I'm going to ban it, let's do something else. Not true?
No. I think it's like water at a restaurant. It's like, they're going to bring me water, so like I'll drink it because it's there. They keep pouring it.
Right, but you're never going to say no.
But like independently, of my own accord, am I going to like...
I think it's always me saying, hey, want to watch The Good Wife?
Yeah.
Right, you never say it. But with the dearth of shows out there right now, I think that because I advanced this upon us and said, we're going to watch The Good Wife, it wasn't like... You're never going to stop, like you said, with water at a restaurant. It's never like you're saying, no more water, thank you. Even when you know you're about to leave, you still say, yeah, fill it up. Because it's not like you're going to actively walk away from it, but at the same time, you're not going to actively seek it out on your own.
Right. So is that how conversations go in your head? Is you giving me directives like, we are going to watch The Good Wife? Just an aside, but something for maybe an offline discussion.
I think for this specific example, because it's akin to getting water at a restaurant, like you so eloquently put it, I'm trying to add in some compliments so you don't get too angry with me.
Sarcastically, I may add.
I think while I'm making dinner and I'm thinking in my head, oh, what should we watch while we eat dinner? And then I'm thinking, well, I know she won't say no to The Good Wife, but I should ask it in the form of a question to make it seem like there's another option.
Yeah, there's really not.
There isn't anything.
But dear listeners, if you have no other option, you know, Netflix The Good Wife, why not? Yeah.
Okay, so let's start getting into it about what we actually like and dislike about the show. I think I'm going to be upfront and say that while I'm enjoying it, it's by no means like one of my favorite shows on the air right now. Keeping that in mind, that disclaimer, I also think that for what it is, specifically a show on CBS, specifically a legal drama on network television, I think it's about as good as you're going
to get. Whoa. So first, I'm going to start reviewing shows based on the low bar that network television sets.
Yes.
That does not seem fair to me.
No, here's the reason why, is because we could go on and on about making fun of network television and the faults that The Good Wife has, but at the same time, it's like, do I want to be up here my elitist throne only talking about HBO shows, and that's the only literary thing on TV?
Well, no, but I actually, what disturbs me about the show is I want it to be trashier. I feel like if this show was trashier, then it would be more interesting.
No, because
then it trying to be elitist, but like still within the frame of CBS.
I think we would get a lot. I think we would get bored with it quicker if it gave into it.
Have I ever gotten bored of Law and Order SVU? No, yeah. Never.
When's the last time we watched
SVU? I watched that show all the time.
When?
Every time you came home on, do you remember that? You'd come home and I'd be like, I watched the best episode of SVU.
Oh, yeah,
and you'd say,
true.
You say that every episode. And it is. It's gripping and trashy and awesome.
Well, I haven't watched SVU for a couple of years now. And there was a time where we watched that pretty incessantly on Netflix Watch Now. But I think Damages is a good turning point to talk about because it kind of changed the legal drama into something that was just a case-by-case basis. They could add serial elements into it.
Well, and first of all, I think that's the line that Good Wife isn't good about drawing, is that in Damages...
That's your opinion.
No, it's true, because in Damages, it was all about cases, like actual cases.
Well, it was usually about a single case.
Well, right, a single case per episode, right?
No, but like, it was a single case throughout the season.
All right.
Anyways, go on.
Not really my point. My point being that SVU, they're cops, right? So they're supposed to be investigating murders and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree. But The Good Wife,
it's like they're lawyers working for a big firm that apparently is having money trouble, has like 5 employees, but practices every kind of law imaginable. Yeah. And they're out there doing the investigative work that the cops aren't doing.
Like, it's not, though. It's usually just Kalinda, the breakout supporting character who... By Archie Punjabi, who won the Emmy last year.
But they're hiring her to do this work.
Because they basically want it to be like the average TV viewer's wet dream, where it's like part legal procedural, part crime procedural.
Well, and that's why it's like, if you want to go there, just be the trashy show.
But
reel me in that way. And what kind of cops does Chicago have, right? So it's like episodes where it's like, huh, maybe we should investigate the accused murderer's phone records. Like, the cops haven't thought about that, and it's right. like 2 months into the case.
Right. I think
what the hell is going on with you, Chicago?
Three different times during the first season where characters ask one another at the law firm, how are you ahead of the cops on this? And somebody says snarkily something along the lines of, because they ain't looking.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I agree with you there that that's how it kind of like toes that line between, I can see why then it makes you want it to be trashier because it needs to at least accept that. On the other hand, I think there's enough going on in the, and this is, I think you'll also disagree with me, there's enough going on with the characters where it feels kind of potently real at points where I actually see this as some kind of grander comment on the justice system or on media and things like that, where it actually doesn't feel like, if it did toe that line with trashy, then I would stop believing it. It'd be more like akin to Nip Tuck or something like that, where it's enjoyable, yes, and the plot twists are fun to get to, but it doesn't have any weight to it. And I actually like the weight that, for instance, you're disagree with me. I like the weight that and the classiness that Juliana Margulies brings to the main character.
See, and I totally disagree. I never thought I would say that Rose Byrne from Damages is, like, a good actress.
Really?
But comparatively, I think that she is a lot weightier. In granted, they both are, like, just walking around making pained facial expressions, and that's, like, the that's just, like, how they frame their acting throughout both of the series. But I never thought I'd say that, like, Juliana Margulies makes Rose Byrne's acting in Damages look weighty. And, you know, one of my favorite shows of all time, completely unrelated, is Clone High, right? And it was a cartoon on MTV. And there was this episode where they were making fun of movie stars saying that no movie stars actually have eyebrows. That they just paint the eyebrows in on television afterwards in order to, like, coordinate it with the lines that they're saying. Yeah. And that's totally how
and
I feel like.
The music.
Yes, and that's totally how I feel like all of The Good Wife is. And I'm not talking even specifically about Juliana Margulies. I feel like the vast majority of the characters in that show just, like, say three-word sentences and then, like, look kind of pained with these eyebrows that don't quite match, like, the rest of their face. Like, their face won't move and they'll just emote through their eyebrows.
Well, I think that's definitely true of Christine Baranski's character. And I think they ended up putting more meat on her bones as the season went on. But definitely through the first half of that season, there were her character, also Carrie's character, Matt Chukri, from Gilmore Girls.
My first thought when you said that is who? Like, seriously.
When I said Carrie?
Yeah, I was like, who?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean about characters.
But I think he became a great character by the end, especially by the last couple episodes.
Well, I actually think Christine Baranski, like, is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
She's like, my favorite.
Really?
Like, the fact that you pointed her out as, like, the worst offender of my whole
I think she is the worst offender.
Thing.
Because
I like her.
Because she doesn't have much of a personality until you get later in the season, and so much of her is, like, sitting back in a chair and, like, being like, I mean, this is the part of the program where it's impossible to completely describe because I'm making facial expressions.
If you're listening, draw a head, and then as Chris talks, you can paint in the eyebrows on the head.
There you
go. To go with what he's saying.
I'll put up some animated GIFs for you to.
All right. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
But okay. So I think you make a good point that you end up seeing characters kind of. Basically, what you're saying is that you've got these very one-dimensional characters that could feel weighty, especially when you say, like, comparison to Rose Byrne. I very much disagree with that. I think that like Glenn Close on Damages is obviously.
Yes. Rose Byrne is awful. She's awful. But I'm saying comparatively, that's how badly I hate Juliana Margulies in the show.
I have respected the way you stood by your husband. It's a lesson in forbearance.
Well, it's a lesson in something.
Well, here's the thing about, okay, we're going to compare apples and oranges. Let's do it correctly.
them's fighting words.
In that, Rose Byrne is basically your, like, innocent standby? Is that a word? Passerby? I don't know. Whatever. She's the innocent protagonist where that gets caught up in all this crazy legalities of the high stakes world of you're the lawyer, so
the high stakes.
What's the kind of law that they practice in Damages?
Apparently everything.
No, in Damages, not The Good Wife.
Civil
litigation. It's like high claims.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
class actions.
Class action. That's what I'm thinking of. And she's just kind of the very kind of vacant innocent protagonist. But in The Good Wife, I like that Juliana Margulies' innocence versus how much she's dealing with it. Is she doing the right thing by staying by her husband? Is she doing the right thing by having these feelings towards Will? Even though I think it sometimes is boiled down too much to a basic love triangle.
I don't care about her. She made her own stupid bed. I don't care.
What do you mean she made her own stupid bed?
She made her own choices in life.
No, exactly. And that's what makes her more interesting, I think, than, say, your Rose Byrne. Where, yeah, you get those facial expressions that basically distill too much, but you end up caring more about her because she's more complex than just the person that had crappy things happen to her.
I want them to tell me how to feel about her.
Because you want the trashiness.
Yeah.
See, I don't want that. I like that. See that
it doesn't
of all networks, the home of Two and a Half Men is saying, here's a drama that not only has tendencies to keep your eye, like your basic legal stuff, but actually has enough class to say, and some intelligence to say your characters don't need to be 100% innocent.
Like, they need to elevate it to a point where I care enough so that it doesn't have to be trashy. It's like, you either got to make me emotionally invested in these characters, and then you can class it up all you want to, but if you're not going to give me that emotional investment,
You're not emotionally invested in any of the characters?
No. No one.
Then why do you...
In fact, her children specifically, every time they come on screen, I audibly groan because I don't want to handle like a family.
The teenage actors are pretty unbearable. But I like that dynamic, at least. It's not. I groan because of the actors. I don't groan because of the dynamic. I think it's a very interesting dynamic of seeing somebody try to parent where the father's made some questionable choices and the mother's making some questionable choices and now trying to pass that on to two kids. And the way they're being secretive, I enjoy how that's kind of coming back on them because even though the kids haven't fleshed out into big characters, there are a lot of interesting things. One of my favorite scenes is the subplot with the son's girlfriend making the ridiculous claims online about Alicia, which is Juliana Margulies' character, and then Alan Cumming, who there's a character that made the show a lot more interesting, right? Eli Gold. Yeah. He comes in and kind of messes with this family dynamic, and that ends up leading to some interesting choices on behalf of the son's character and that girlfriend that might come back to haunt the family in season two. And I think that's way where it makes it weighty as a serial show, where we get invested in maybe not these specific characters, but in the interactions and dynamics of the family and the public and the media, that you're going to end up caring about it the more you watch the show.
Well, I'll give it a couple more episodes, but I'm not too convinced.
You'll start season two with me, though?
I'll start it. Start season two.
One thing I'd like to point out is that we kept going back and forth on this about the fact that, A, the first lawyer of Chris Noth, who is the husband of Alicia, Juliana Margulies on the show, disappears within the last few episodes.
But I think he came back in the last episode.
Did he?
I think he was standing in a kitchen scene.
But it's confusing because six or seven episodes in, I finally realized that he was the chief from Speed, one of the best films of all time. And so I finally got excited about him. And now it looks like he's starting to get phased out by Amy Ryan and Alan Cumming, whom both I enjoy. But
What's her name was in a bunch of episodes. I like her character.
Oh, yeah. What's her name? She is good. You're right.
No.
Who are you talking about?
Come on. From Raising Hope.
Oh,
Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, she's great. And that's another thing. We talk about bit characters, not even the supporting cast, but some of the judges on the show I think are pretty great. Like Anna Gasteyer showing up, I think that was fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And Dennis O'Hare from True Blood showing up, that was fun. I'm blanking on her name, but the woman who played the pretending to be a ditzy lawyer, but turning out not to be.
That wasn't Amy Ryan?
No, I guess they kind of played on that idea, but the one that the judge was going with her just because she was a perky blonde, and
I don't remember.
Oh, Dylan Baker, I also enjoy him a lot. He came back for a second episode later in the season as the millionaire that may or may not have murdered his wife. I think there's a lot of strong, especially in the. I think you said this before, as you'd like the procedural stories a lot more than the serial
story,
right?
I do, yeah.
And I think they do that so well that, I mean, obviously I enjoy the serial stuff because I like getting invested in a story over time.
But you need characters to make a story, but right. I'll drop that argument.
We'll leave that be. But as far as procedural stories, like individual self-contained stuff, I think it's really compelling probably at least 75% of the time. Whereas SVU, I think it's a crapshoot. I think you watch SVU, like you said.
I love every single episode of SVU.
But I gotta say, like, we watch that show maybe twice a day for a good...
Well, that was our mistake.
Yeah, but after you do that, especially in compared to actual good television, like, so many of those storylines just get forgotten.
You know what
easily.
The Good Wife needs?
Iced tea.
That's the solution.
That's the solution. Okay, so producers of The Good Wife, you're about to work on season 3.
Let's make this happen.
I think this is where we become very clear-cut and just say, we will promote your show every week on this podcast and on theblogulator.com if you cast Iced tea.
Yep, and he's got that reality show now, too, so if you want to throw in Coco, right. I'm okay with that.
Sure, why not? And the little puppy?
Yeah, throw them all in there.
Good, good. One person we didn't talk about is actually, I think, who I personally think is the best actor on the show, Josh Charles.
I have no idea who that is.
Will. Also
The fox. He's kind of a fox.
Jessica got a little thing for him. I actually think, even though his character has been a little wonky, I think especially going into season 2, he's a really strong actor. I think he pulls off some pretty key scenes, not just with Alicia with their love triangle, but as the one of the partners of this firm and dealing with the machinations going on between employees and the economy and what have you.
I think he's one of the worst offenders of the pained face thing.
Of the pained face?
Yeah, I do. But he's a fox, so I'll forgive him. And we're also watching Sports Night right now, which he's in. And he's filled out a little bit, and it suits him well.
So you especially appreciate his looks compared to
Sports Night.
His Sports Night oversized '90s blazers.
Yes.
Yeah. That might be a future topic for looking back on classic television.
Yes. Yeah.
Though I don't think we'd disagree too much about that show because we both tend to like it a lot. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think that about does it for this edition of Blogulator Radio, at least here with Jerksica. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with me.
You're welcome.
Even though we tend to disagree, I at least appreciate that you agreed to going into second season of The Good Wife.
Yeah, drag me kicking and screaming. I'll be there with bells on.
Well, good work, CBS. You've brought conflict into my home, but at least brought another decent television program compared to your other lineup. Okay, that's it for Blogulator Radio this week. You can find the written version online at theblogulator.com. We'd also like to remind you, if you happen to listen to this episode the day it comes out, tonight we've got a TV party at the Red Stag Supper Club featuring episodes of Clarissa Explains It All.
Way cool.
Nah, 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 nah. It's an excellent 90s Nickelodeon teen sitcom. I guess that's how you describe
it. Yeah, it was a sitcom.
Yeah.
Hell yes, it was.
Oh, yeah. Ferguson. I'm a big fan. Jerksica's a big fan. Everybody at Girl Germs is how you pronounce it. The fellow podcast here on Fancy. Fans Gangsters, bringing the best in groundbreaking female artists. They're big fans, so we're going to have fun. Eat some cheese curds, maybe.
Yeah.
Get some drink specials. Join us if you are getting this now. Otherwise, just a heads up, TV Party will be going on hiatus for the fall and possibly the winter as well. While we regroup and try to find a new venue for it.
What are we, network television?
But thank you, Red Stag, for hosting us for these summer months. And thanks to Girl Germs for having us on this last one here for the August TV party. Find more information at fancypantsgangsters.com, girlgermsradio.wordpress.com, or theblogulator.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, because
our opinions are valid.